Hey, it's me, Brandon, again. I found yet another file for an episode that we recorded where Jeff wants to make me like kombucha, the drink that costs $7 at Whole Foods, and we never produced it. We never published it. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it, and thanks for listening. So this past weekend, you had a whole abundance of time to yourself without your family because you were quarantined. You were sick, right?
Yep.
You, from what I understand, there was a family trip up north, and then you, because you were sick, you didn't want to get anyone ill, you decided to come home early, and so you had essentially 2 days at the house by yourself, no wife, no kids. How was that?
I enjoyed it, and it sucked. Like, when I'm away from my kids, and even before kids, like when I was away from Julie for too long, I would be depressed. Like, In general, I think I'm depressed when I spend too much time by myself and I don't have a lot of structured time.
When you're alone with just your thoughts and you can ruminate on things?
Yeah, like, it's good in short bursts. And it's good if it's something that, if I've got something else to take the edge off, if I'm like, I like thinking and I like being able to process my thoughts, but too much unstructured time just makes me go to a bad place.
Yeah.
So I appreciated it. This time I was strategic and I gave myself chores to do throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I felt less depressed because I cut 3 acres of grass and I pulled trees that there's so many little trees that grow up around my property that I'm kind of like walking outside and I just see it and I go, huh, there's a tree there that shouldn't be there. I got to go uproot it. That's what happens when you live on 3 acres is that there's places within your property that you just don't tend to very often. I had stuff like I got to go get stuff done. And I gotta clean the house.
She also had to rest because you were ill.
But I also needed to rest because I wasn't feeling well. And the big reason that I stayed is because Julie said, you should stay home. And that never happens.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up thinking that I never got sick because I never missed a school day. And come to find out, like, it's... My mom does the same thing. She just soldiers on, goes to work all the time. Right. It's like a cultural thing.
If you were sick and needed to stay home from school, she would have had to take off work to be home with you. And so it was like easier to just go to school. Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, could I didn't be? Even think of it that way. I just, when my mom was sick, she never was sick. Like my mom just recently went to the doctor and got a checkup, not a checkup. It was a sick visit. Anyway, she went to the doctor for the first time in probably 20 years.
Oh, wow.
This year.
Wow.
And it was because she was having health issues. Like, she wasn't doing well. And it turns out that the vitamins that she was taking was thickening up her blood.
What?
And it was messing her up.
Oh, my God.
And the doctor was like, all right. She was just tired, chronically tired, like even more than she normally is. My mom sleeps 5 hours a night, at least. Maybe she sleeps more now, but works 2 jobs. Like, my mom just works.
Yeah.
And turns out she was taking too many pills that were vitamins that were clogging up her blood. And then she had a checkup and she was feeling better and everything. And then her thyroid function is, her thyroid's not working at all. And maybe hasn't for a while. So it's just, and it breaks gender stereotypes a little bit too, right? That sounds like a dude. That
does it?
That ignores.
Oh.
Ignores all health signs, doesn't go to the doctor. Meanwhile, there's me. I go to the doctor every 6 months as a regular thing because I've allowed myself in my 20s to get diagnosed with high blood pressure, have been on lisinopril for it, have had like a lot of sinus stuff. And so I try to stay on top of that and go to doctors and everything like that.
Yeah.
And, but it's funny, like I had to learn that on my own. That's something that's not weakness. That's advocating for yourself. But yeah, like whenever I'm sick, it's hard to accept it. But there's all these other things. Like Julie didn't want me to go up because her grandmother, who's 97, is up there. And
if a cold could end her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when Julie said, hey, you're not going up, my first thought was like, of course I'm going up. And then my second thought was like, yeah, best not to be the reason a family member dies.
At least not in that way.
And then I was like, oh, man, I can watch so much TV. I can just walk around the house naked is something I do anyway.
Right.
With great regularity. So that's not like something new, but I could do that and not feel shameful because there's no one else there except for my dog.
Your dog is silently judging you.
My dog has seen some things, man. Because I walk around naked a lot.
I get that.
Yeah. All right. I'm just going to go with
okay, it. Okay. Yeah, do it.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Make Me Like This, the show where Brandon and I try to make each other like disgusting, awful things. In this episode, I'm going to make Brandon like kombucha.
Kombucha. Yeah, okay. Try it. Define kombucha for me. I've had it a few times, but I really don't know what it is or what the definition of kombucha is. It's like fermented something or other.
It's fermented tea.
Fermented tea?
Yeah. So it's a like a fermented tea culture. And they're like a specific like kombucha bacteria thing. I don't know all the details about
okay.
it. Kombucha, a good kombucha tastes a little bit bad.
Okay. If the better it is for you, the worse it tastes, you think? Maybe.
I think that kombucha is not the tastiest thing in the world, but here's why I like it. It's 35 calories a serving for the Kiva, like master.
Which is, it's kombucha. Like a pint? Is it a pint?
Yeah. So okay. There's two servings in that. You're looking at 70 calories.
Okay.
I always think it's funny how they put on there the calories per serving for drinks. And the serving size, like the actual serving size, is always right. going to be one bottle of something.
Right.
Unless you're buying a gallon of OJ, where that still could be a single serving.
It is, but at that point, you're not looking at the label.
No, you're getting
a jug of Sunny D.
Yeah, and I used to go to the Trading Post, which was a convenience store that we could get to on our bicycles when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I'd get a half gallon of chocolate milk. And chug that bee on the way home.
As you're riding your bike no-handed?
Yeah.
Like a badass?
You could do one-handed, but yeah, no hands.
Okay.
Because I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
Yeah.
And drink a chug of milk while I'm going. But anyway.
What a visual.
Yeah. Kombucha. I like it because it's low calorie, relatively, and compared to like pop and things like that. And I don't know if it's because it has a little bit of alcohol. It has 1% or whatever.
It's like O'Doul's.
Like the combination. Yeah, it's O'Doul's with a little bit of caffeine because there's tea in there. It calms me. And I use it kind of pseudo medicinally in the sense that when I'm driving home from work, sometimes I get massive headaches because I've been looking at a screen all day. And whether I already pent up from whether it's my sinus issues or I just have a genuine headache from staring at a screen, it doesn't usually hit me until I'm in the car when I change my vantage point on the world and I start letting myself think of other things besides work.
Could it be like the environmental change of now all of a sudden there's daylight? There's like an abundance of daylight around you and the iris in your eye is already opened wide because you've been in a darker place staring at a screen. And then you're adjusting and it's like an influx of light. That could be.
As usual, you're probably right about my life. I think so. I think the change in light, maybe it's dusty in my car. It is a pit.
It's a snot rag factory.
Yeah, it's a really disgusting place, my vehicle. Brandon's the only person close enough to me to open up my passenger door and go, God, you are disgusting.
Yeah.
Everyone else goes, oh, it's no big deal, as I frantically shovel stuff into
the
backseat.
That's why I always volunteer to drive to lunch.
Yeah, and I like your car. It smells interesting yeah. right now. I almost said it smells like owls, just because you have an owl air freshener.
It's shaped like it. Do you know why I have that air freshener?
Because I ride in your car a lot?
Specifically, because one Monday morning, woke up and I got out to my car, get ready to come in, and I noticed that you left your leftovers from the previous Friday in the back seat, and it smelled rank. And like
leftovers did
it? It was Chipotle. Oh. Yeah. So it was, and it was probably poultry, and it was.
These are lies. I've never had leftover Chipotle.
Oh, you did.
I might have taken a to-go order and never eaten it.
It was there, and I know it was yours because you were the only person that was with me for the previous meal. But
you know
it smelled so bad.
You know what I'm most
bad.
Ashamed of what? This story? It's not that I left it in your car and then it made your car smell bad.
Food.
It's that I wasted food.
You did. And it was probably not intentionally. Like, you wouldn't do that intentionally.
I would never do that.
You just set it in the back and then just forgot it was in the back. But I've always prided myself on how clean and how my car, because I only drive it to work and back, still smells like off the lot new car smell.
Not anymore though, huh?
And then it just ruined that. And so I was like, what do people do when their cars smell? And I was like, we got this old owl air freshener. And I hung that in like a gypsy.
Ruined your pristine car.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's right, man.
You have two kids.
Yeah, they never get in that car.
And a grown-ass man is the one that stunk up your car.
You've been in my car more than my kids have. Because when we travel, as a family, we travel in the other car. This car is like to get me from work to home and home to work.
It's a shuttle car.
And then back and forth to Qdoba. That's it. That's it.
This was Chipotle. I mean, I know, that's man. Your car trying to say, hey, have some brand loyalty.
Let's not backpedal here. You left it in my car over the weekend. And this was still when it was warm outside, so it was cooking.
I left it in your car. You left it over the weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
By definition. Because I didn't look in the back thinking that someone had set their food back there. Especially,
I'm definitely the most wrong here.
Yeah.
I wasted food. And what else did I do wrong?
You stunk up my car.
Oh, I stunk up your car. Yeah. And I made you use an oil. Why do I want to say oil? An owl air freshener.
Why is it an owl?
I don't even know what it smells like. It doesn't smell good, man. Just so you know.
It's not meant to smell good. It's meant to neutralize the odor. I don't know.
There's these car bombs that you can get.
Yeah.
Where it just fogs up your vehicle.
Yeah.
You throw it in like a grenade.
Yeah.
And then I hear that can get the smell of cigarette smoke out. The guy at the dealership told me about it.
Okay.
He was in my car.
He was farting in your car.
Yeah, he was like, hey, you might want to get one of those bombs.
Yeah. Please. When he's on a lunch break, he goes and eats in that car, and you bought it. Dealers are dicks.
When I was teaching, a kid left a carton of chocolate milk in his locker, and he probably left it in there for months.
Yeah.
Like, he had stuck it up on the top shelf way in the back and forgot about it. It happens, right?
Yeah.
Doing locker clean out months later after he made this mistake. And the kid's bright idea was, I should open this to see what it's like. It was a biohazard in the hallway. That's the most foul smelling thing. So what I'm saying is, you're lucky I didn't leave milk hidden in your car.
True.
For you to open up like an idiot.
True.
Months later.
I know. Thank you.
So kombucha.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a good alternative to drinking water, because who doesn't get tired of drinking water?
I get tired of drinking water. I can only drink so much water.
And if you switch up and go like Gatorade, that has way more sugar, way more calories than kombucha.
That's the second time you've referenced like calories and stuff like that. Are you cognizant of that? It seems like
I'm not counting calories.
But you're very focused on calories in drinks, but not at all in the food that you consume.
Okay, so I think, thank you, by the way. I appreciate that compliment you just gave me. I started drinking water a long time ago exclusively because I was realizing that I used to drink Gatorade all the time and Mountain Dew and everything. And I could not necessarily lose weight at that point in time because it was in my 20s, but feel healthier, avoid spike and everything like that. Having the occasional pop or soda. Or Gatorade or like sugary drinks every once in a while or juice is not bad. But what I'm saying, I guess what I'm saying here is it's not like for weight consciousness. It's more in the sense of it's not a bad water alternative when you want to switch it up. It's bubbly, so it's a carbonation. It's supposed to be in, like, if you're drinking flat water or something like that. And but most of all, I think, and I'm not certain about this, I think the relaxation that I get from it is that there's a little bit of alcohol, like O'Doul's, and then that's combined with a little bit of caffeine, or maybe a lot of bit of caffeine. I don't know exactly how much is in there. And that combination just is a reset button for me. And I'll get one on my way home. I might get one today. And then that just transitions me into... That's an important time for me. I bet I've talked about this on episodes on the past. And I bet I've even talked to you even more about it outside of this. But I get hammered with headaches often. I just feel tired and I don't want to do anything. And I'll come into my house a grump if I just drive straight home and I don't do anything about it. Sometimes I'll take a Tylenol and I just don't want to, I don't want to be using painkillers on a daily basis to transition me into the evening. I'm already, I started melatonin to sleep.
At night?
To sleep.
Like gummies?
It's a dissolvable thing, but gummies sound suspicious.
I had melatonin gummies. I tried those.
I got the extra strength.
They're
10 milligrams.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll put that underneath my tongue. And I was sitting in the chair the other day, and I was like, man, it's not doing anything. It's not doing anything. The first one I took.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything. So and then 20 minutes later, no, I didn't. 20 minutes later, I was just like tongue hanging out and like fighting sleep. And I was like, holy crap, that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I went to sleep. And I can use it to... I can elect to make a decision to go to bed at 8 o'clock if I want to. And I used it on the weekend when the kids were gone and I actually slept.
Yeah.
And I woke up, I didn't feel groggy. I've done that with cough syrup before, take too much of that,
right,
and pass out. But then you wake up not feeling rested. I felt super rested and I was like, wow, maybe I have low melatonin. Like you get melatonin from the darkness.
Okay.
That's when you stock up on it. And then your body makes you go to sleep. So it is the darkness that actually makes us want to go to sleep during that time.
Okay, sure.
And I never do. Like I've just always chalked it up to being a night person.
Yeah.
I enjoy being up at night. The worst time of day for me is between 3 and 6 o'clock where I feel like dog crap. I don't know if you have a consistent time of day where it's just your low point on a regular basis.
Yeah. About that 2 o'clock mark where it's like post lunch and you're naturally getting a little bit sleepy, losing energy. And yet that's like stockpiled with the most, you know, whether it's meetings, whether it's collaborative work.
Yeah.
And it's ill-timed.
Yeah. So on the tail end of that, when I leave work, that's my crappy time. And a kombucha is a good regular routine. I would not want to drink Mountain Dew or a Gatorade every single day after work. And I also don't know that the trace amount of alcohol might be the thing. I think it is the thing that really helps me out with that.
Interesting.
So yeah, I like kombucha.
So I'm looking at the Wikipedia page for kombucha. And it says that alcohol by volume is 0.5%. Right. So if you think like an average beer is like 4-5%, this is 0.5%, right? It's 0.5% trace alcohol. It doesn't say anything about the amount of caffeine, but if it's like tea, I think my wife and I have had this conversation before because she is not a coffee drinker, but she'll drink tea. And I think I tried to do a comparison of the amount of caffeine in coffee versus a tea. And I think it was maybe an eighth to a tenth of the amount of caffeine as in coffee. So if it's just regular tea, I would say that it compared to coffee, it's it's a fraction of the caffeine that you're getting, probably.
Here's some more information.
Okay.
Kombucha is generally considered to have about a third of the amount of caffeine as the tea it's made with. So, for example, black tea, which might have 30 to 80 milligrams of caffeine per cup, may yield a glass of kombucha with 10 to 25 milligrams of caffeine.
Okay.
So green tea kombucha might just have 2 to 3 milligrams.
So in that fermentation process, then maybe some of the caffeine is,
yeah,
is lost. So here's an interesting...
So it's just a little.
Just a little.
It doesn't bring me up or bring me down too much. And I think that's the thing. Like, obviously, I'm not going to pound a beer on my drive home.
Right.
But even if I drove home and drank a beer, I'm going to get tired real quick.
And right? arrested.
I'm arriving home.
You're drinking a Michelob Light as you're driving down 496.
I'm not even going to make a joke about that. That's arriving home. I am taking the keys out of my vehicle.
Yeah.
I am walking upstairs away from my vehicle
yep.
to my fridge, opening up my Michelob Light Ultra
yeah.
and drinking it with a straw.
There, ooh, get the bubbles.
Curly straw. Pink curly straw with one of the windmill spinny things on there to keep me busy.
Yeah. That is such a slight amount of caffeine and a yep. slight amount of alcohol. It's like a mini Four Loko. But mini Four Loko. Super,
it's like you took a Four Loko and you put it in a 5-gallon tub.
You poured one drop
and dropped of Four it Loko in there.
Into a bathtub.
Yeah. And then you filled it up with bath water
yeah.
and slurped it up.
So.
With some lavender.
Ooh. I like the smell of lavender.
It's supposed to help you go to sleep. With lavender.
We were at a conference in spring and the hotel had a little spray bottle of lavender next to the bed on the nightstand, and it said, "Hey, spray this on your pillow for a good night's sleep." It was very fancy.
Her name was Francesca.
Yes,
standing next to your bed.
Oh,
spraying lavender on you.
Yeah, wasn't that kind of a hotel? But this was Detroit. It was
checks out.
Yes, yeah, sounds good in theory. I tried it, and it was just like obnoxious.
I really like lavender shampoo or like something where you can use it for some functional value and then you just happen to smell it while you're washing your hair or something like that. And it just, it's a relaxing yeah. feeling.
I feel that way about the mint in the shampoo and stuff like that. When yeah. you go to one of those haircuttery places that they do the shampoo and they've got the mint involved and it feels tingly and effervescent. I like that.
You sound 20s gangster.
Like, a 1920s gangster?
Yeah. You're like, you go to the hair cuttery place.
See? Yeah.
And it was all good until the mint got involved.
A thing you could say in the 20s and not be run out of town.
Oh, I totally bastardized that.
Yeah, I don't know that it's enough alcohol or caffeine to it. I could drink a coffee 6 to 7 o'clock at night. And it will have it won't keep me up all night.
Oh.
It doesn't feel like it has any effect on me.
I'm in love with your body.
Oh,
it does.
It's a Mariah Carey song.
Is it?
I think so. Something like that. I don't know.
Christina Aguilera says she's a genie in a bottle.
Yeah, different person. Definitely a different sentence. So yeah, I think that would have no bearing on my desire to drink kombucha, but the probiotic aspect of it seems like is why it's became popular, right? Is this focus on the probiotic health, and this has natural probiotic in it, and that's supposed to help your gut health, which is supposed to help aid in digestion and just overall being healthy, preventing disease. That is something that is interesting to me. I do take a probiotic, also a gummy, because I like eating gummies in the morning when I wake up. It's like a life hack. You can't eat candy in the morning. Oh, but it's got probiotics in it.
I think that's similar thought to the kombucha stuff.
Like, it's like a flavorful way to...
Yeah.
It's like permission to drink a sort of sugary drink because it's got some health benefits to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I buy that.
No. And I wouldn't underestimate the trace amounts of the other stuff, too. Just because it's trace doesn't mean that it's not there.
And it could have an effect. It's just not... You're not going to be able to drive all night to Houston because it's the caffeine's keeping you up and you're not going to...
Especially if I take a melatonin, I'm not driving to Houston.
Yeah.
That stuff, man, like elephant tranquilizer.
I tried it. The first couple times I did it, I really did feel like, oh, is this placebo or something like that? And I was like, no, I definitely do feel my, like, I'm struggling to keep my eyelids open. So it would help me fall asleep. That's one of my problems, is being able to fall asleep, because I'll like sit and think about all the things I have to
do. We're talking melatonin.
The next day,
right?
Melatonin,
now,
yeah.
Not kombucha.
No. And then,
you shouldn't go to bed drinking kombucha.
It helps.
Especially if it's spouse, like, breathing on them. Kombucha is so foul.
So that's another thing, is it tastes very vinegary to me, and like a vinegar aftertaste.
I like that taste.
But yeah, you like pickles and whatnot. And
Chipotle,
pickle sandwiches.
Been in the car for the weekend. You
yeah.
throw that out or do you keep it?
Oh, I threw me? That out. Yeah. I didn't even bring it into my house to the trash. I put it in the dumpster sans garbage bag because I'm like, I'm not bringing that mess
I'm
in my
so
house.
I'm so forgetful.
Yeah.
I just... I'm an awful person.
What this whole podcast is about
I'm
is
really sorry
making you less horrible.
Wasted food.
Yeah. No, that's okay. So listen to this. Numerous implausible health benefits have been attributed to drinking kombucha. These include claims for treating AIDS, aging, anorexia, arthritis, cancer, constipation, diabetes. But there's no evidence to support any of these claims. Moreover, the beverage has caused rare cases of serious adverse effects, including fatalities possibly arising from contamination during home preparation. Yuck.
For home preparation.
Home preparation. Yeah. Okay. So like they're home
and they said
brewing
rare,
their kombucha.
Right?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going to throw those. I'm going to say right here, the health benefits.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating for any of those, even though I've come on the podcast a couple times and talked about butter coffee. And yeah. I'm really into these dietary ways of also just changing, like cheating the human body a little bit. My body, maybe that's what they call it, right?
Yeah, biohacking.
Hacking my day.
Yeah, yeah.
And through food and beverage and stuff like that. What I found out is that as my genuine health with my sinuses and everything has improved, I'm realizing how little effect all of the stuff I used to do in the past was actually happening.
Yeah.
The solution was having surgery and getting the stuff out of my face.
Yeah, true.
Was the key. I believe strongly in actual medicine, but I don't know. It's enjoyable. It tastes a little bit bad.
It tastes bad.
And
yeah.
And it's invigorating because maybe it tastes a little bit bad.
It's my freshman year of college where beer tasted yucky. And I had to convince myself to the taste of beer, and let alone the fact that it was like Bud Light and stuff like that and Natty Light. Of course, it's not going to taste good. It doesn't taste good now. But it was like, why am I convincing myself to this drink? Because of the benefits of it, right? The feeling of drunkenness and having fun, whatever. This feels like a similar process by which I've got to force myself to this. And it's not great. Like, I've tried a couple of the different ones. I've tried, like, the tart cherry one at Whole Foods.
Yeah. That's the Master Brew kombucha, like the Kivita or whatever.
I think so.
Whatever
yeah.
That brand
I think
is.
So.
It's also the cheapest.
And that's not even cheap, right?
It's
still
like $2.36 or something.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah. I remember it being more than. Yeah. Yeah.
So at Whole Foods, it's probably like $7.
It was $7. Probably. I don't know.
I like Whole Foods, and I like even more that I usually don't count how much things are costing me.
You're not governed by cost.
I've started
when it comes
to a little
bit
more governed by cost.
You've started to since?
Yeah. We had several months where we couldn't make a credit card payment.
Oh, really? And just because you had a bunch of stuff on it?
There was a bunch of stuff on it, and yeah. So
you've been more mindful about a budget and sticking to it?
Yeah, I've been more mindful about, for me, it's making behavioral changes. So I've been trying to, once or twice a week, eat lunch of something that's leftovers from the night before.
Yeah, yeah.
And just trying to meal plan a little bit better.
Not wasting food, leaving Chipotle in the back of a car.
Yeah. That,
waste of time and money.
Yeah, my
and food.
My kids... are two different people in that respect too, where my youngest will eat everything that's put on the plate and my oldest will leave stuff on his plate. And I'm just,
yeah.
So
yeah,
I just started to make my plate a little bit smaller and I eat the rest of his.
Oh, that's that. You know what? That's a wise strategy. My mom growing up, so I've got three sisters, and whenever we went out to a restaurant, particularly when on vacation traveling, stuff like that, my mom would never order a meal for herself because there was so much left over from each of the kids' meals that it was more than enough to sustain her. So it was like, if you got a family of six, one less meal, that's every little bit counts. And so she just made a living off of our leftover, our scraps.
Especially if you go to Olive Garden and they got the never ending pasta bowl.
Oh.
And you just keep siphoning off from Brandon's plate.
Like, I worked at Olive Garden for a short time and I haven't eaten there since because I've seen things. Like your dog. I have seen things.
Yeah.
I have seen people
walk around the store naked.
They walk around the store naked holding the unlimited breadsticks in their hands.
Are they breadsticks?
And underneath their armpits and stuff. And no, but
hey, try my never ending breadstick.
Oh God. I'm really never going back there. Disgusting.
I worked at Subway and I had the opposite feeling.
You were in control of the way that it was prepared.
Every part
as
of
a
the
sandwich
process.
Artist. I was a busboy. Ooh. So I wasn't preparing food. I didn't have a lot of interaction with the food.
So you just saw the thing.
And so there's probably a greater accountability to Subway because you're doing the food preparation in front of the guests, whereas Olive Garden, it's in the back. And it's in the way back.
There's plenty of stuff that goes on in the back of a Subway.
Sure.
There's a big freezer in there, which pretty much everything comes out of. And then much of the vegetables are fresh and you've got to chop them up.
Yeah.
And everything like that.
Okay.
But I agree with you, at least all of it's out there once it's prepared.
There's at least more of a visibility factor, I think.
The only thing that bums me out, it's not a gross thing. It's like I used to make things for myself that you just can't get on the menu. Or if you did, it would be like triple meat portions.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think of, man, I'm going to go to Subway and I'm going to have them make me a Italian sandwich. But what was it? Italian BMT. And instead of bread, use two mini pizzas and put a half a pound of mozzarella in there.
Yeah.
And it's just not something
and they can't. They can't do it. If they do it, it'll be like $30 they'll charge you.
Yeah, I'd come in there and describe that to them and they'd be like, we can't make that for you, but thank you for this idea. I'm going to be making this.
I'll make this for myself.
I'll make this for myself
after
later.
I'm off the floors. Oh, yeah. Man. So, okay, So I've tried the tart cherry one, and I've tried one that was supposed to be, it was like advertised as a flu shot. So it was like citrus, it was, I think there was some like chili pepper or something, all these things that are supposed to ward off sickness or a cold or whatever. I had one of those. It was gross.
I don't like the shots. I feel like that's something different. Is it not the same stuff?
So I've had one of those at this like pop-up juice store that our millennial hipster former colleague took us to. But what I'm referring to is in the same end cap at Whole Foods as that. And it was even the same brand probably as the tart cherry one. There was one that was, it was like lemon, citrus, chili powder. And it just listed the ingredients. Yeah. And it in the description was, this is to prevent you from getting sick or something. And I tried that because it was like midwinter and I felt myself coming down with something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try this and stuff. And it was really vile. It was gross.
You see, the thing I like the little bit bad part about the kombucha itself, I don't take that as like an indicator. Like medicine, especially growing up, medicine tasted bad.
Right? Yeah.
Like Tussin doesn't taste good.
No.
But it's medicine.
Right.
And it's going to help you. And so there might be a little bit of a mindset towards something medicinal is going to have a bad taste and that's okay. And
because
maybe you have a placebo effect.
Net effect is good.
But I take it more like this. Smelling salts, for example.
Okay.
They don't smell delightful.
No, but they do have a purpose.
They shock your senses a little bit, and yeah, it's invigorating because it shocks your senses a little bit. I think that little bit of like vinegary, bubbly taste of the kombucha to me is similar. Like my eyes are alert because it cocks my senses a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas something that's like really tasty, like a tasty, sugary drink or whatever,
yeah,
is almost relaxing because it's just all good. It doesn't shock my senses at right. all. It just, it makes you feel good because it's sugary.
And there's no way that there can be anything beneficial about that. It tastes too good.
And to me, it's not the mindset thing. I think some people have that. Oh, this tastes good. It can't be good for me. This tastes bad. It's probably good for me.
Yeah, sure.
What I'm talking about is I don't share that sentiment. The taste bad stuff is actually like shocking my taste buds a little bit. And I think it like invigorates my senses a little bit because of that.
Okay.
Even the bubbliness, like I can smell it, like the vinegarine, like it just, it's a similar, I'm not going to say it's just like smelling salts. Smelling salts would be like, it's this way to kick back. But at the same time, I don't know. I think it's invigorating.
Yeah. Okay. Come up with a different flavor for me to try.
Tart cherry is my favorite. Tart cherry,
I've tried.
Then.
And it's been okay. Like, it has a good initial taste, and then you're hit with like, the vinegar aftertaste, which isn't.
Do you taste the ginger in it?
A little bit.
There is ginger in it.
Yeah, I do.
Do you like the ginger or not?
I don't mind it.
So the Kavita stuff has, like, quite a bit of aftertaste to it.
Yeah.
There's the Synergy ones.
Yes.
Don't taste as vinegary.
Okay.
But, and they taste a little bit on the sweeter side, but they're
like that.
They're flatter, which I don't like. Like, I like the Kavita stuff because it's super bubbly.
Okay.
The Kombucha AIDS stuff is probably like
AIDS,
a medium.
The Kombucha AIDS cure.
The Kombucha AIDS epidemic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a stupid bottle where it's got like a really small mouth to it because it's like made to look like a medicine bottle.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Which I don't like. I like how the Kavita one just is, it's the cheapest. It's got a big mouth for chugging and it's bubbly.
That's right.
That's what I like about it. I don't mind the straight up ginger one, but I bet that you would feel that was even more vinegary.
Yeah.
Because it would have less to like, I think the tart cherry has more sugar and probably covers that vinegar taste a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
But my favorite as far as if you take flavor itself out of it, my favorite is all of those Kavita stuff. So if you haven't tried like the pineapple or try different flavors, but like ultimately, if it doesn't taste good to you or good enough to you, then it's not going to be something that you drink with regularity. I actually like the taste of vinegar. It's weird. It's weird it being a drink because usually I like vinegar chips and I mix a little vinegar in with my tuna fish because it gives it sense. And stuff like that. But the drink is new for me, but I don't mind it.
Okay, I get that.
I would not be one of these people drinking apple cider vinegar like by itself.
Yeah.
And being being gross about, oh, it's just really good for your gut. Well, there's other things that are good for your gut that don't taste like butt.
Yeah. So I'm definitely open to trying it again. To me, kombucha is like the HBO show Girls. Everyone was talking about, oh, this is the greatest show. It's such good writing and it's such good acting and it's so real. And I watched the whole first season. I was like, I don't get this at all.
I'm gonna continue
to watch it because everyone says how good it is. And am I missing something? Am I wrong? So I'm going to keep watching it.
It's like the prequel to the current Star Wars movies. Like eventually Adam Driver turns into Kylo Ren and it really gets interesting.
Okay. Is the doofus in both?
I'm going to talk to Palpatine now. Dad. My dad won't let me take the TIE fighter out, so I'm going to kill him.
What a dude. Like, it makes
I'm going to rip his heart out of his chest.
It makes me violently. It makes me violently angry that guy is a famous actor because there is so much of him that shouldn't work. But for some reason, it does.
Did you watch his episode of SNL or did you boycott it?
No, I watched it.
Did you like it?
I thought it was well done. Yeah. It made me warm up to him a little bit, but not a lot.
Mostly it's right. Anytime that you don't like a person and they come on SNL and you enjoy some of the skits that they're in, you can blame it on the writing.
Sure.
You can say they worked with what that person was and they made comedy out of it. Like, they were making fun of, like, Kylo Ren for most of those skits in that show. So, like, in a way, you can appreciate an episode with him in it and then not really care for him.
True.
Still.
For sure.
Trump was on an episode of that too.
Yeah. Mm. You should. Have you read any of the stories about that
All
episode?
The stories.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Kanye gets a couple of similar stories too. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like similar to the girls show, I will keep trying something to figure out why I don't like it. And it's intrinsically motivated by the popularity of it. People saying, oh, this is the best. This is great. And wanting to figure out, is it just me? Or is it just hive mentality of one likes this, so therefore it's good? I felt the same way where I've tried kombucha probably 5 times or so and had varying degrees of in dislike to it, liking the initial taste, liking the fact that I'm probably getting some probiotic, I'm probably getting some other health benefits out of it, but also then hit with this nasty aftertaste, which I didn't like. So I'm happy to give it some more tries. And if you can make some recommendations on some different varieties to try, different flavors to try that might give me a different experience, maybe that other brand name would be more of a pleasant experience for me and take the edge off of what I don't like about the ones that I have tried. So if I can do that, I think I can say that I like it enough to give it a try and give it a good try and really, really go for it. Trying some off the wall flavors and try to see if I can find one that it like suits me.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What? Where did that come from?
If you can find one,
yeah,
you can appreciate the others. It's okay. Not a great movie. Queen well, came to my head.
Let's pick another 2004 movie to draw a relevant reference from.
The fact that you know that's a 2004 movie. Give me other 2004 movies that I could try to quote.
Spider-Man 1.
Not going to happen. I just know Tobey Maguire. Is that a quote or no?
Yeah. There's a Keanu Reeves movie where he sends mailbox letters to Sandra Bullock. I don't know what the name of it is.
Creepy.
You're so bad at this.
What's a mailbox?
Oh, man. This is getting out of hand. I think it's time for you to go drink some kombucha because you're
Bullock?
Being awful. Go drink some kombucha and change your attitude before you get home to your children.
So I think that was I'm willing to like this.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think the health benefits are something that I'm interested in, and I'll give it a try. I'll give it a better try. Okay?
All right.
You really need to drink some kombucha because you're the worst right now.
Is Adam Driver a worse actor than Keanu Reeves?
Yes, he is.
Who is Keanu Reeves' closest equivalent? In actor goodness.
Actor quality. Quality?
Yeah. Just so I can get a sense of, because some people really don't like Keanu Reeves and some people like really appreciate him.
No, I think I appreciate him. I think he would be the equivalent to, say, a Steve Carell.
Really?
Where you can do serious, but he can also do fun.
Yeah.
And change it up. He can surprise you. Steve Carell is sneakily a good actor, and you wouldn't think that because of his comedy roots. You wouldn't think Keanu Reeves is a good actor because he comes from Bill and Ted and stuff like that, but he's actually decent, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm the authority on what's a good actor and what's not because I've had official training.
That's how we should end it.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. I'll probably cut that part out.